Maybe you feel as though the past year went by extremely quickly, and it's hard to believe that another new year is upon us. I feel pretty confident that this year will go by with the exact same speed that all past years since the creation has gone by. But for some of us, as we have gotten older, it just seems to go faster. And the older we get, the faster it goes. And maybe you're at the point that it maybe feels like a runaway steam train off the side of a cliff by now. I don't know, but it seems to be going faster and faster. And as we begin this new year, I hope you'll open your Bibles with me to the book of Romans, chapter 6. And I want us to think together in this new year about the new life. In Romans chapter 6, Paul addressed those who had been baptized into Christ, reminded them that in doing so they had been baptized into His death, and there, having the blood of Christ applied, God raised them to walk in newness of life. I can't help but think about Jesus' words to the disciples in Matthew 18 and verse 3 when He said to them, "Except ye be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." You see, the idea of the word newness, as is used in Romans 6 and verse 4, involves the idea of a change. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, Paul there said, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Again, it reminds me of Paul's words in Galatians 2 and verse 20. "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live." That new life is in Christ. And as Paul said in Romans 6, the only way to get into Christ is by being baptized into Him. The word new has the idea, there's two different Greek words for the word new, or translated with the word new. And many argue that they're used synonymously, interchangeably. And there may be a shade of difference more than I want to get into as far as what the difference may be. They have the idea of recently made, new in species, character, or mode, renovated, better, of higher excellence. By the blood of Jesus Christ, we've been given a new life. We've been given a new chance, a fresh start, and I want us to think about some things that are involved in this new life. Sorry to take the pictures of the cute babies away, but I want you to focus on what I'm saying. They were adorable. Turn with me in the Bible and let's notice that part of this new life, it begins with inexperience. Jesus was talking to Nicodemus as Nicodemus came to Him for whatever reason by night, and he never really said to Jesus what was on his mind. Jesus seemingly almost interrupts him to address what I believe was on his mind, this kingdom. And he said to him, "Except a man be born again," in verse 3 and in verse 5, "except a man be born of water and the Spirit." You see, there is an analogy in the Scriptures of new converts as newborn babes. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 15, the end of the verse, "In Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel." In 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, Peter made the analogy as newborn babes. Paul in Ephesians 2 verse 15, talking about Jew and Gentile, said, "For to make," and the work of Christ on the cross, "for to make in Himself of twain," Jew and Gentile, "one new man." This is not a new concept to us. The Scriptures give this analogy, and I want to think about as that newborn babe. That new baby cannot do anything for itself. If you've ever witnessed, I'm sure most of us have at least seen a newborn baby or held a newborn baby. They can't even hold up their heads by themselves. You've got to support the head. And over the period of time, you watch them grow and develop and mature, and they begin to discover their hands. They can't really do anything with them. They're just fascinated that they have something at the end of that arm. can't feed themselves, they can't change themselves, can't clothe themselves. And it's not instant, it's a slow process, but they demand constant care around the clock. When Cindy was pregnant with Andrew, a friend of mine told me his advice. His wife had had a baby a few years before, and he told me, he said, "Say goodbye to your pillow." I learned what he meant. It takes round-the-clock care. We've got that phrase, baby steps. New converts are the same way. We need to realize that. We, as mature Christians, need to help them. We need to be there to guide them. We need to be there to provide the care that they cannot give for themselves. I wondered what we would think of a parent who treated a child the way sometimes we have done in the Lord's church with newborn babes. Might be arrested for child abuse. We need to be mindful of that newborn babe in Christ. I thought of an illustration. Have you ever gone into a business and maybe it's a clerk or a cashier or something and you see them struggling? I went into the bank not long ago and the lady there, it was obvious she was having a hard time. And she looked up at me and she said those words, "I'm sorry, I'm new." You've been there. You remember your first day on the job, whatever it may have been, you were not probably the most proficient at doing that at the beginning. What if it goes on? What if that employee after a few weeks or months or even years still has the same struggles? We're going to think something's wrong. What about a child that never develops? You know, they've got these marks that by this age a child should be able to do this particular thing, and when they don't, we begin to notice there's a problem in development. Maybe it's the case that child is just slow. Eventually comes around and is able to do those things. Sometimes it indicates a mental handicap. You see, there is no mental handicap in Christianity. Those who have a mental handicap physically, God has provided for them, will take care of them. But if we're mentally capable of hearing and obeying the gospel, we're capable of growth and growing and developing. That employee, if they're not able to perform their job, the boss must address that. Can you imagine a parent who continually treats their child like a newborn babe? Can you imagine the mental and physical development that is being harmed because of that? Can you imagine the parent who takes the child that at the first required being spoon-fed, and they try to continue that spoon-feeding of that child until it's 3, 4, 5, 10, 12 years old? Something's wrong. We need to realize that Christians need to develop. We can't, let me just say it bluntly, we can't continue to coddle a Christian all of its spiritual life. There needs to be development. It brings me to my second point, that in the new life there needs to be that growth. And I put the word continual, and I'll touch on that in just a moment. Go to Luke chapter 2 and let's look at the perfect example of our Lord. There you remember the family had made the trip to Jerusalem for the feast. They, at the end of the feast, gathered together. They would have traveled in large caravans together. They, assuming that Jesus was with another family member, started their journey home to discover He wasn't with them. He wasn't to be found anywhere. Can you imagine the panic? They turn back, go back to Jerusalem. They find Him in the temple. He is in debate with the teachers of the law. Mary filed that away, by the way, the Scripture says. But in verse 52, it tells us that our Lord increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and in favor with man. I want to take those four things briefly. In wisdom, it's referring to His mental development. He was 12 years old. He had developed to a certain point, but He continued that development. He increased in stature, talking about His physical growth. Some connect that with His age. He increased in favor with God, referring to his spiritual development. And finally, is in favor with man. He developed socially. I heard a man preach a sermon on this, and the title of the sermon was A Well-Rounded Square. These four aspects. Well-rounded. These things, if you apply these four things into our lives, we can be a well-developed individual and human as God intended for us. But we realize that in every life there must be growth. You know, you and I, for the most of us here this morning, we tend to think, well, I've stopped growing. In fact, some of us, we reach an age, they suggest that we begin to shrink. Now, I believe that's the case. We even joke about it, you know, I may not be growing any taller, but I'm growing around. We may not be growing physically. We may reach the height that we're going to be in life physically, but we may indeed must be indeed growing mentally. Learn something new every day, don't you? Strive to, but especially spiritually. We need to be growing spiritually. We must be growing. At 1 Peter chapter 2, I alluded to this a moment ago, and I want to make a note about this. I want to make sure we get a grasp on the thoughts of Peter here when he says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word. Peter is not, let me tell you what he's not saying. He's not saying that this applies only to newborn Christians. He's using an analogy that we can understand, and he says, just like that newborn baby, you need to, not just at the beginning, but constantly, you need to have that desire, that insatiable appetite. For what? The milk of the Word. He's not limiting that to just the basics. I want to show you that in a moment, that there must be development as we continue on. But he's showing the intensity. You ever seen a little baby when it's hungry? You mothers, did you ever have to guess when your child was hungry? Or did that little fella or little girl, did she let you know? Scream their head off till they get what they need. That should be our intensity. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, in those Beatitudes, Jesus said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Over in the book of Hebrews, we touched on not too long ago in chapter 5, he was getting into more of a complex concept in discussing our Lord as high priest and in the comparison of Melchizedek. And he came to the point, he said, I'd like to tell you about this. You become dull of hearing. And then he rebuked them, for when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need to be taught yourself. I'm paraphrasing. You're still on the milk when you should have progressed to the meat. He rebuked them for their lack of growth. And mark out that chapter division. You get into chapter 6 and he tells them what they need to do to fix that problem. He said there in the middle of the verse, let us go on to perfection. The word perfection, that's the same word in verse 14 that's translated full age, mature. Let us go on to maturity. Go over to Ephesians chapter 4 with me. I love this passage. I want to show you the need here. The reason. This chapter begins a new section in the book of Ephesians, and he's imploring them to walk as they ought to be walking. The entire second half of the book, chapters 4, 5, and 6, is how they ought to be as Christians. And he begins this with the unity of Christ, those seven ones. And even though there's that perfect unity in the Godhead, you come down to us, we're different. We're not all the same. And there's a reason for that. God, knowing that, and He designed us that way, it was so that we can, of what our strength is, contribute to the whole so we can help. I may have a weakness in this area. You may have that strength, and when we come together, all the weaknesses are taken care of. But you pick up in verse number, back up to verse 12, here's why the different abilities for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Now watch him, unto a perfect man, mature, full grown. unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. There's our model we're striving to be like, to be Christ-like. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine and the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by every by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. We are in a church so that we can grow and mature and develop and help one another. Couldn't make it on our own. It's sad to watch a child that is not fed properly and does not grow properly. And it's sad to watch a child who, maybe because of a condition, does not grow and develop. What's even sadder is to watch a Christian not feed themselves properly, not be provided for properly. Because the adage is true, what doesn't grow dies. If we are not willing to grow, we are not going to develop. If we're not willing to feed on the Word of God, we're not going to grow, we're not going to develop. We're going to remain that weak child, and we do not stand a chance against our enemy who is greater than we are. You see, that growth is ongoing. From the time we obey the gospel, we've learned enough to become a Christian. That's the beginning of our journey, and we begin to grow and develop and strengthen our faith. It's not automatic. It's not the case that I pray to God, give me faith. God's going to give me faith the same way He gives everyone faith, through His holy and inspired Word. And through that continual growth brings us number three involved in the new life, is a new mindset, a new direction, a new way of thinking. Go back to Romans chapter 6, if you will. Romans chapter 6. I want to read a few verses here. And in this point, I do have some reading. I want the Scriptures to speak for themselves. You remember in verses 3 and 4, we're baptized into Christ, baptized into His death. God, being buried with Christ, God then raises up. There's the death, the burial, the resurrection. The like form of doctrine, verse 17. Then picking up in verse 5, notice that being raised in the newness of life, He's going to further elaborate on that beginning in verse 5. For if we have been planted, or literally united together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. We've died spiritually. We're not going to stay dead. God's going to raise us to a new life. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should, underline it, mark it, that we should not serve sin. Doesn't say we're not going to sin again. 1 John 1 tells us how to take care of that. Should not serve sin. Keep reading. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that He died unto sin once, but in that He liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. There, that old man of sin, he's been put to death. A new creature has been brought forth. We're speaking spiritually. And it's through Christ. Through God has provided that new birth. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you. Mindset, attitude, way of thinking. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ. And he talks about humility. And prior to that, he's talking about how they needed to look at one another and help one another. Let this mind be in you. Christ, God Himself, became a human, suffered to help us. We should be, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, 1, King James says, follow me as I also follow Christ. The word means to imitate. Imitate me. Paul, I don't believe Paul saying, look at me as the example. Paul is saying, just as I am imitating Christ, you need to do the same thing. He is the perfect example, not Paul. Let's go over to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And in this chapter, there's that old and new man being described. I want to start in verse 1 to get the full context. And he says, if, King James, literally meaning since, ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For you're dead spiritually, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Watch. Verse 5, mortify, put to death. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. He's not talking literally. He's going to explain it. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. In the which ye also walked some time, when ye lived in them. But now, notice the contrast, ye also put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deed. That old way of living is gone. Verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that crafted him. Verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian or Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. There's that contrast, the old man and the new man. We've been given a new life. Spiritual rebirth. That new life involves a new way of living. We live as Christ lived. It involves a new way of thinking. We think as Christ thought. It involves a new way of acting. We act as Christ acted. If I, claiming to be a follower of the Christ, have not changed in my life, if I am still living like I used to live, if I'm still acting the way I used to act, if I still do those things in my life that God has deemed to be sinful and I've never turned away from them, let me say this and say it with all kindness, but say it plainly, that I have not been converted, just merely got wet. Because it involves a change. That old man, you think about that old man. That old man of sin that I used to have, he was dirty and rotten and he stinks. It was a terrible life. You know, the Bible says that the way of a transgressor is hard, Proverbs 13, verse 15. Why in the world would I want to bring him back to life? But that's what we do sometimes. Let me give you this illustration. Years ago, I held a meeting in Northern Virginia, a classmate of mine. He graduated a year before me. One day he said, let's go out and do some visiting. He said, we're going to go visit Brother So-and-so. He said, he's a good man. He's a very kind man, but he's a little eccentric. I have to warn you. We got to his house and went in, and it was anything but normal. And I think he did this on purpose, but he put me in the chair in the living room, and the man had a dog that he loved. I've heard of people doing this. And he had that dog, when it died, stuffed. And had it placed there at that one chair where I was put, staring at me the whole time. I was a little uncomfortable. That was a little odd. Now, I've heard of people doing that. I know we love our pets. I don't think I'd want to do that myself. But nothing against those who do. But it was a little odd. I want you to imagine, though, that little puppy dog that man loved so much and he carried around with him and he died. What if he kept carrying that dog around? What's that dog going to do? Rot and decay and stink. You see that man, you're going to say something's wrong with him. But that's what we do spiritually sometimes. We've been given a new life, but I want to cling to that old man because I love, it has to come down, I love my sin. I'm not willing to change. That old life is bad. The new life, think about the new life we have been given and how much better. Oh yeah, it has trials. The new life, it has its struggles and its difficulties and its obstacles. And that brings me to the final point this morning, that the new life involves a better destination. I want to break this down into two parts very briefly. The first part is the better destination here. As Christians, having obeyed the gospel, given a new life, we're in a better place. We were living in a life of sin. Now we have been forgiven. We don't carry that burden of guilt of sin with us anymore. We have salvation in Christ. Ephesians 2, 12 and 13, at that time you were without hope. But now in Christ Jesus you've been forgiven. Oh, that's better. All the burden of the guilt of sin, Matthew 11, 28 to 30, I'll give you rest. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12, I'll remember their transgressions no more. But there's a better destination after this life. That's where I want to focus. John, in the book of John, not long ago we looked at the life as John portrayed it in chapter 1 and verse 4. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Chapter 3, when Nicodemus came to Him, Jesus said, except you be born again. Notice He said, you cannot see, verse 3, you cannot enter, verse 5, the kingdom of heaven. Is that referring to the church or heaven itself? You ask me, I'm going to say yes. I think it involves both. You can't have one without the other. You're not going to heaven without being a part of His church. Chapter 10, verse 10, I am come that they may have life and may have it more abundantly. Chapter 20, Jesus did a lot of things that's not written in this book. John said, verse 31, these are written that you might believe, and in believing you may have life through His name. We've been given that new life, eternal life. Physically, we will die. Spiritually, we can live on. That's what I'm looking forward to. We have access, Ephesians 2:18, that Jesus and His work on the cross gave both to the Jew and the Gentile access by one Spirit unto the Father. Hebrews 10:19 and 20. He says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest, representing heaven itself. How? By the blood of Jesus. By a new and living way which He consecrated before us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. We have access to heaven now. We have a better destination. So whatever's going on in my life in this world, if I just keep my focus on the ultimate prize. In Philippians 1, verse 21, Paul reflected on his life and he said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I think about that. You know, I've touched on this before. I've said this before. I hear the phrase, considering the alternative. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. I have and I want it. I have considered the alternative and I would rather have the alternative if you're a faithful Christian. Because the alternative is heaven. Place of no more. Yes, I want it. Verse 23, he said, for I'm in a strait betwixt the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. But it's needful for me to remain here. It's far better. Over, I don't have the scripture on the board, but in 2 Peter 3 and verse 12, talking about the return of the Lord, the second coming, he said in verse 12, hasting in the King James until the coming of the day of the Lord. The American Standard Version, I like when it translates that, earnestly desiring. I think about heaven and that's what I want. I want to go. I want to go. And I've been given a new life and you've been given a new life so that we can have that better destination. Every accountable person born into this world has been stained with sin. The Bible makes it all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Every one of us is guilty. That stain in our life is dirty, it's ugly, it has terrible consequences, Romans 6:23. But by the blood of Christ that was shed for us, we can be washed, that stain taken away, and it's brand new. Brand new, as if it never existed. Revelation 1:5, Ephesians 1 and verse 7. Cleansed by the blood of Christ. That cleansing is what gives us the new life. That is the new birth. That's why Jesus said, born of water. Waters of baptism, because He said, When we are baptized with Him, we're baptized into His death. In His death, He shed the blood. That's where it's applied. That's what cleansed the stain of sin. No, it's not the water, it's the blood. That's the only place the blood can be applied. That old man of sin, it's left behind. That new man is brought forth. Years ago, I baptized a man. He come up out of the water. He was weeping as many do. He embraced me. He turned around and looked at the water and he said, "That water sure is dirty." He knew what had happened. All those sins cleansed, left behind. Isn't that a beautiful picture? We begin a new year. At any point in time that we have the breath of life in us, we can begin a new life. Don't have to wait till now. Don't have to wait till Sunday. Don't have to wait till a certain point. You can do it at any point that you're willing, that by your faith that Jesus is the Christ, you're willing to respond to Him that He is Lord, Master. What is it our Lord has commanded? That we have faith, and by that faith we repent of our sins, Luke 13:3, that we confess Him before others, Matthew 10, and that we be baptized, buried with Him into death. The blood applied, the sins cleansed, a new life given, born again. This morning, as we think about new beginnings, if you haven't had that new life, why not today? If as a child of God, we've been given that new life, and you know what we've done? We've stained it again. Bought a new shirt the other day. Didn't have it on just a few hours and dripped jelly on it and stained it again. Had to wash it all over again. That's the blood of Christ. It continually cleanses. If we're willing to acknowledge the sin and ask His forgiveness, 1 John 1, 5-10. This morning, if you're subject, we're here to assist you. If you're willing to make it known by coming, together we stand and as we sing.